You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to talk about prayer is what we're going to talk about, which is great. Doesn't matter if it's short or fast or whatever it is with that. What do you think about when you think about prayer? Whenever you think about prayer, some of us get a little bit scared about prayer. We go, oh, wait a minute. And basically, our whole Christian goal is to go to Christian things but never get called on to ever pray. That's what we want to do. We don't want to get stuck in a situation where someone says, well, why don't you pray? See, there's three groups that are in the church. Number one is a group, as I say, I'm going to talk about prayer. You go, oh, man, this is great. I've been praying. I've been thinking about prayer. I've been wanting to learn to pray more, and I got my pen out, my listening guide, and I'm ready to take notes because I really want to learn how to pray. There's a second group that says, you know, I believe in prayer. I'm all for prayer. But when I get to a time of prayer, it's like, I don't really know what to say. I want to say something. I think there's probably something to say, but I don't really know what to say. So I just kind of say the same things I've been saying as a kid. There's a third group that says, well, when I get to a time of prayer, I realize that it's bearing my soul before God. And the last time I bared my soul to somebody, I got really hurt. So I don't want anything to go on the inside. I just want to keep everything on the outside. And dealing with God on the inside and really praying, I don't really want to do that. So I'm going to keep it at an arm's length is what I'm going to do and keep it a little bit further away to say I don't want to deal with the things going on in the inner man. Which one of those three groups are you in? Where do you find yourself in those three groups? Are you wanting to pray more because you really had a blessing of prayer in your life? You kind of just don't really know what to say. Third and finally, are you just a little bit scared about something going on the inside? See, wherever you are, I hope that when we talk today that we'll be able to grow and take a step in the future and be able to walk further and stronger with what God wants to do in prayer because it's a blessing. It's not a burden, it's a blessing. And so we want to be people of prayer. We want to pray for our kids. None of us want to be like, well, I was a good parent, but I just never prayed for my kids. I didn't really ever pray for my marriage. I didn't pray for any of my friends. I just kind of kept it all inside. See, what we do is our prayers a lot of times are from the neck up. They're just in our head. We don't let them get to our heart because that gets a little bit too tender. So here's what we have. We have some prayers that go like this. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to finish the sentence for me, okay? So this is crowd participation. I'm going to say something, and then you're going to say it back, okay? See if you can finish these prayers as we go along. You ready? God is great. Let us thank him for our food, right? There we go. We can do that one. We can go further and we can say this. Now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, why are we praying that with our kids, right? I mean, what if that is not a good prayer? Mama, stay. Don't leave. Please don't leave. We pray every night. If I die before I wake, fear of God in them, I guess, is what we're after. I don't know, but we get that. This one will kind of throw you off a little bit. You might know this one, you might not. It's called the Johnny Appleseed Prayer, and this is what we would pray at different times, and it's kind of got a little song to it. I'll sing the whole thing. Feel free to sing along. Oh, the Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. The Lord is good to me. Amen. Dig in. Stay friends. Bum. That's it. Okay? We got that one. Yeah, thank you very much. That's good. We can do the Lord's Prayer in record time because we know it so well. It's above. It doesn't really make it to our heart, but our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forget those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Right? You can do it too. You just go and it stays here in the head. It never really makes it to the heart. For my Catholic friends, coming from a Cajun Catholic family, you've heard this a million times. See if you can finish this. Bless us, O Lord, for these are gifts we're about to receive through the bounty of Christ, O Lord. Amen. That's the Catholic bless the food prayer is what it is. One time my grandfather was a big-time Catholic. He said, Greg, why don't you bless the food? And so I said, okay, let me pray. And so I prayed. You know, I didn't pray that one. He was like, don't take so long next time. We got a fast Catholic prayer, and you Protestants are like praying for everything. Just get to the food, and let's eat. So we got to bless the Lord, and these are gifts we're about to receive. We can go through all that. We've got all these prayers that really stay above the neck, don't they? They're memorized prayers from our head that don't get into the heart. But real prayer, we're going to see, gets into the heart. It's something about the soul. It's the inner man. It's not just the head. It's the inner man. And we're going to see this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and following. This is the second prayer of Ephesians. The first one was found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 19. But this is the second one, and this is what it says. For this reason, that's the reason of Jews and Gentiles coming together in Christ. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, how rich is the glory of God, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, and we'll get to verse 18 and 19 next week. But here we have that Paul is kicking this off. The first three chapters of Ephesians are about the riches we have in Christ. 4 through 6 are about the responsibilities we have in Christ. So he's wrapping up this third chapter with saying, here's my prayer for you. Here's my prayer for you. And he begins by saying, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. See, the posture of our prayer creates the posture of our life. The posture of our prayer creates the posture of our life. If your prayer is a shaking a fist at God, then the posture of your life is going to be shaking your fist at the rest of the world. If your prayer is, gimme, 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 is the posture of your prayer, then your life is really going to be a lot of gimme, 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 particularly with God. If the posture of your prayer, though, is kneeled down and before the Lord, what is kneeling? Kneeling is a place of humility. Kneeling is a place of humility and surrender that we say, God, I kneel before you and I give you all of my life and I'm waiting in a sense for what do you want me to be a part of? How do you want me to respond to this? Paul says, I pray and I kneel before the Father. Father, a term of endearment and close proximity and love. Now don't insert what happened with your dad. Put in a heavenly Father. And let that love and that care and that respect and that honor. He says, I pray and I bow my knees before the Father. The posture of his prayer creates the posture of his life. And our life before the Lord is to be a posture before the Lord that says, Lord, I'm humble before you and I'm receiving from you whatever you want me to be about and what you want me to do. The answer is yes before I even hear the question from you. I told you a couple weeks ago, and I want you to do this with me. Put your hands out like this. The Puritans used to pray with their hands up or their hands down. And here's what they would do, their posture of prayer. They would have their hands out like this, and they would say, Lord, we need things from you. We receive from you. We're asking you to grant us things. It's receiving. Then they would turn their palms down. Turn your palms down. And they would pray, and they'd say, Lord, we release these things to you. I give you my business. I give you my children. I give you the wisdom that I do not have, that I need wisdom. I'm asking you. I'm just giving this away to you, saying, I don't have it all, and I'm releasing. Do you see the posture of our lives? That's the posture of prayer. We should be kneeling before the Lord, saying, Lord, I need to receive from you, and Lord, I need to give to you. Let the posture of your prayer create the posture of your life. We pray with our kids kneeling down by the foot of the bed, but let me tell you what, adult, it is very important that you kneel before the Lord. In my prayer times with the Lord, I pray on my knees a lot in my office, in the prayer room at the church, at home. I pray and I just get on my knees and just symbolically, I'll lay down on the floor before the Lord. Now, if I'm at the mall, I just walk and pray, okay? I don't get crazy with it. But there's a posture that happens that says, Lord, I give you this. You are my Father, and every father on earth gets its name from you, is what it's saying in that verse. It says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. It's saying, Lord, you are the creator of all things. You are not only the King of kings and the Lord of lords, you're the Father of fathers. And fathers, just for us, if you're going to be a great dad, you be a great dad because you're following a great dad in heaven. And letting him, and so that's why the Lord's Prayer even begins with our Father who art in heaven. See, there's a posture to prayer. In the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, we get some posture. It says we are seated in the heavenlies. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, we'll see later in a couple weeks that we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So we're seated, and then other times we're walking. Then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says that we stand against the schemes of the enemy. So we're seated, we're walking, we're kneeling, and we're standing. There's different postures, and there's It all begins with that kneeling and that humility in prayer. Because, see, God is wanting to do something deeper in our lives than just the exterior. If we were to ask for a prayer list, even of our church here, 90% of the prayer list would be about people being healthy or happy. It would be all exterior. And what I'm going to show you today through these verses is God wants to do something interior in you. That prayer in our mind is, God, do this exterior stuff. Lord, we want you to do this, we want you to do that. We want you to make us healthy and happy on the exterior. When God is saying, I want you to be about the interior is what I want. Look at verse 16. I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit. Where? In the inner man. It's in the inner man is where it comes from. So he's saying, I want you to receive strength from his spirit, and I want it to be in the inner man. It's not just the exterior, it's the interior. See, here's the deal. Prayer is the spirit's work on our inner man first, and then on our outer circumstances. Prayer is the spirit's work on our inner man first, then our outer circumstance. Should we be praying for healing? Yes, no question about it. Should we be praying for things that are hard in our lives, for somebody to get a job, for something to go better than it's going? No question in the world about that. I preached many a sermon about that. Yes, 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 yes. But prayer is the Spirit's work, Holy Spirit of God, on the inner man first. See, if God strengthens you in the inner man, then you'll be able to handle whatever the outer circumstances is. We're trying to get the outside to affect the inside, and God is saying, I want the inside to affect the outside. But some of us are afraid to touch that inner man, aren't we? Because the inner man's a place where we can get hurt, a place where we can have some wounds. But here's the deal. You are a soul that happens to have a body, not a body that happens to have a soul. And if you don't get about, and I don't get about the inner man, your soul will wilt. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. I'm just saying your soul and your yearnings for God will wilt. He wants to do work in the inner man. Often we see prayer as what we want God to do around us. It's usually to keep us healthy and happy. But first and foremost, it's a place of work in us. Notice that Paul is praying for believers' hearts, not their circumstances. D.L. Moody put it like this, I'd rather be able to pray than preach. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach. He only taught them how to pray, and I say amen to that. Because there's an inner working that needs to happen in that. He wants to do something in our inner working. My wife and I went to Chicago, and we could look out the window of our hotel, and they were building a building next to us, and you could look down, and there was this foundation that was being dug out to build this huge building. They had to go down before they could go up. In Shanghai, there's a tower that is being built. It's 2,073 feet high. 2,073 feet high. But before they lifted a single beam, the engineers drove 980 foundational pylons down. Almost 1,000 pylons went down. They dug the ground as deep as 282 feet. A football field would be 300 feet. So let's say a football field in depth. They poured in 2.15 million cubic feet of reinforced concrete to create a 20-foot thick foundation mat. Now, I want you to think about that. 2,000 feet high, 300 feet deep, 1,000 pylons, 2.15 million pounds of concrete. See, if you're going to go high, you got to go deep. Now, here's the deal. If I'm here, I want to know something went on down here. I don't want this to be built like Legos on the top of the table. If I'm going all the way up and that wind starts blowing, I want to know that the foundation is solid. The foundation is solid. Here's the deal. The deeper the work, the higher the result. The deeper the work, the higher the result. Now, let me just pick on a group that I'm a member of. Ambitious ones. You worry about the foundation with God and let God worry about the height of what he wants to do in your life. You get yourself concerned about the inner man, the workings deep within of your soul, and you get about the inner workings and the foundational things of your faith, and then when you handle the depth, God can be trusted with the height. Parents, listen. Don't be just concerned about the height of your kid's life. What's the heart of your kid's life? What is God doing in the heart of your kid in these foundational moments deep, deep within? It's not just that they can do a lot of things and they have a lot of skill. The goal is this, is that they would have a heart that would have foundation in the inner man. Because let me tell you what, there's a lot of people with a lot of stuff that are miserable. There's a lot of people with a lot of height in life that have burned the house down with sin in their life and in their marriage and in their families. Let's get about the depth of the inner man, and God can do whatever he wants with the height. What's the inner man? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that the inner man, that we're lost, we're sinners, we're dead, but we become alive when Christ is our trust and where we place our salvation in him. In Psalm 119, it says the inner man has eyes to see. Matthew 13, he has ears to hear. Psalm 34, he has a taste for the things of God. Acts 17, that he can feel what's going on. 1 Timothy chapter 4, that the inner man must be exercised. Psalm 51, the inner man must be cleansed. Matthew chapter 4, he must be fed. 2 Corinthians 4, the outer man is decaying, but the inner man is daily being renewed. There's a difference between the outside circumstances and God doing his work in the inner man. He wants to build a foundation in you. And the deeper the work, the higher the result. See, God's going to show us through Paul here in the scriptures, he's going to give us, in verse 17, he's going to show us three words to describe this work in the inner man. One of them is going to be a home, one of them is going to be an agricultural word, and one of them is going to be an architectural word. And all of these are going to come together for the inner man to be strengthened and strong in your life and in my life. Because prayer is not just, Lord, change the outside. Prayer is, God, I want you to do a work in the inside. Look at verse 17. And that the Messiah, Christ, may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the home. I pray that you being rooted, that's agricultural, and firmly established in love. Did you see the three words? The three words, the three verbs that he gives us to explain this work in the inner man that prayer does is number one, we would dwell. We would dwell. Number two, that we would be rooted. Number three, that we would be firmly established. Those three things are able to give us what we need in our lives in the inner man. Are you afraid of the inner man? Do you know what to say? Do you know what to ask for even in prayer? Here's what you ask for in prayer. Number one is that you would dwell, that the Messiah would dwell in your heart. The Messiah would dwell in your heart. Now this bends towards salvation. What does it mean to be saved? It's not going to church somewhere. It's not just praying a prayer. It's not just walking an aisle. It's placing your trust and your hope and your faith in Jesus Christ alone to be forgiveness of sin. And then what happens? He dwells in your heart. This verse, that he would dwell, the Messiah, meaning Savior, would dwell, live in your heart. How? Through faith, not by works, but through faith. Lord, I want to have my sins forgiven by your death on the cross. I want you to pay for my sins. I trust you. I lay my life down to you, palms down. I receive your grace and forgiveness, palms up. So that now you may dwell in my heart. What's the word dwell mean? It means to be at home, doesn't it? Is Jesus at home in you? Is he at home in you? Remember when I was in college, I read a little pamphlet called My Heart, Christ's Home. And it used our life to symbolize with different rooms of the house. And they go into one room and say, well, is there anything in the closet that you haven't let out to the Lord? Go into the living room. Is there any places you're living and going and breathing that aren't really where Christ would be at home? It's a great little pamphlet. You probably find it on the internet for $1.50 somewhere. My heart, Christ's home, that he would dwell in me. He would dwell in me. See, in Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 19, you get two men talked about. One of them is Abraham, one of them is Lot. The Lord was at home at Abraham's house. The Lord was not at home at Lot's house. He was at home at Abraham's house, but he wasn't at home at Lot's house. Is he at home in the house of your heart? Or is there battles going on of what he wants, maybe what your sinful flesh wants, or have you ever trusted him to come into your heart and trusted him in faith to be your forgiveness and your Savior? Number two, rooted. What are roots? Roots are places from which we get nourishment. Roots hold us in a storm. The beginning of fruit is a good root, right? If you got bad fruit in your life, check the roots. Don't just pray for a crop failure, check the roots. Roots are an agricultural term that gives us nourishment and stability, a well-nourished and a stable inner man. Changes marriages, changes families, changes churches, changes cities, nations, and the world. Are you well-nourished in your inner man, or are you dehydrated in your inner man? Are you parched in the inner man? Have you been so about the outside that you've never gotten to filling up the inside? See, prayer is a place of nourishment. It's a place of rooting, of establishing, of receiving nourishment from God. It's not just, dear Lord, I need a parking spot because it's Christmas time. It's, dear Lord, I need patience because there's no parking spots at Christmas time. I need you to do something in me before you do something around me or through me. God wants to do something that is rooted, that is dwelling, and then is firmly established. Firmly established. It's an architectural term. It means a solid foundation on which to build. It's the pylons going down into the ground. It's looking for my hotel room in Chicago with a big hole that's there to build this building. It's seeing the concrete being poured. See, if we focus on the depth of our lives with Christ, we can trust God with the height of our lives. This is where you build a career. This is where you build a marriage. This is where you build a family and you build a life firmly established, not blown about, not built, even as Jesus says, on the sand, but built on the rock. So he's given us a home term. He's given us an agricultural term. And now he's given us an architectural term. But notice that none of this prayer stuff has anything to do with healthy and happy. Those are good prayers too. And I believe in them, and I pray them, and I want to be healthy and happy. But God's work on the inside is more important than what God's doing on the outside. And many of us are really discouraged about the outside because there's no work going on the inside. And when things are going on the inside, you'll find that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I consider it all a loss for the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I consider this present suffering to not be worthy to be compared to the glory that waits for me when I get to heaven and there's rewards for these things. And I realized from last week that I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm a prisoner of Jesus. And I'm not a place of misery. I trust that God's going to take my misery and make it my ministry. That was last week's message. I'm not going to waste the trial because God's doing something in here so I can trust him with whatever he's doing out here. Still praying for those things, not trying to negate that. But the foundation of life is God's work in the inner man. Some of you are group one and you're like, oh, I've been waiting to hear about the inner man. Oh, man, my inner man is alive right now. It's not perfect, but it's alive. And I want to know about prayer because I got some things I need to be praying for and I want to be more effective in it. And I want to hear God and I want him to hear me. And, man, my kids, I want to be praying for them. And my grandkids, I want to be praying for them. And my loved ones, I want to be praying for them. Singles, for your husband or wife-to-be, possibly. Praying for them real, not just I need something because I'm lonely. God, I want you to do something in this. Some of you are in group two and you're like, I just don't know what to say. And you're halfway or more than halfway. I'm like 90% done with the message. I still don't know what to say. Pray exactly this passage for your life. Pray the passage that we went over weeks ago in Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 17, it begins. It says, I pray to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father. What am I praying for? I'm praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I'm praying that the eyes of my heart would be enlightened to the hope of his calling with the glorious riches of all of the saints in Christ Jesus. so that I may know the immeasurable greatness of all of his power to all of us who believe and the vast working of his strength. Just take that verse of scripture and put your name in it and start praying it. Take these verses of scripture and start praying it. If you don't know what to pray, just start praying those things. If you're like, the worst thing that could ever happen in my life is for me to pray out loud, then this week start praying out loud. You talk to everybody else in your life out loud, don't you? If you're a husband, you're like, no, I don't really talk out loud about things going on. Then you're in trouble, okay, is what's happening. You need to speak those things. Pray by yourself out loud. Feel silly about it. If you don't want to get to the things of the soul, know that God is going to continually be pricking the things of the soul. And he's a healer, not a herder of the things of the soul. Pray with someone. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your kids. Pray with a loved one. Pray with a friend. Whatever it is, let this inner man come out and live from the core of who you are, not the exterior of who you are. Your business card will not touch your heart. Your soul is where your emotions and all of you reside. That's the real you, is your soul. Husbands, be praying with your wife. Here's what you do. You grab her hand. You say, let's kneel down at home, and you pray. You think, man, that's going to make me feel silly. That's going to feel weird. Look, here's the deal. Here's the principle for husbands. If you feel weird about it, she's going to love it. Makes you feel silly? I don't want to go buy flowers. And I got to go. She'll love it. If it's inconvenient or makes you feel silly, it's exactly what your wife wants. Hold her hand and pray in those things. That's what I gave you down at the very bottom as we wrap up. 3 points of application. Pray this for yourself. Pray this for your kids, your spouse, or loved one. Pray this for our church and believers. See, to go high, you got to go deep. Go high, you got to go deep. Let me give you this last thing. And before we go, you can also see the Trinity in this whole thing. I forgot to mention this, but in verse 14, we see the Father. In verse 16, we see the Spirit. In verse 17, we see Christ and the Messiah. So you see the Trinity through this whole thing. But let me give you this last story. My whole point has been that God wants to do something in you in prayer, and he wants to build a strong foundation of an inner man. When you and I hear the word Katrina in the South, we don't think about, oh, yeah, is that one of your friends? We think New Orleans. We think a hurricane. That's what we think about. Well, First Baptist New Orleans ended up becoming one of the major mission sending centers into Katrina. What would happen, churches would come to First Baptist New Orleans. They would meet with a staff member there that was in charge of Katrina missions, and then they would get their assignment and go into the city from all over the nation to do mission work in the city. First Baptist New Orleans was the hub. Our choir and orchestra went. I went. I preached in that church. We went and helped to repair a pastor's house. I mean, we had a lot of ministry going on in New Orleans, and the place that was the hub was First Baptist New Orleans. That's the hub that was happening, at least for our denomination. I'm sure there's some other great churches doing great things. Not trying to negate that, but this was the hub. Let me tell you the story about their new building pre-Katrina. They had a big meeting. It was their building committee that was meeting in a big discussion about it, and here was the question. Should they raise the foundation 18 inches? They were going to have to bring in more dirt, and they were going to raise it 18 inches. Now, the pastor wanted 18 inches higher because at that point, you could see from the church steps downtown New Orleans. That's a place you could see. So it just gave vision. So I was like, yeah, that's a good reason. So here we got that going on. Other people said, no, we need to get the foundation differently, and the builder folks were thinking different things. So they had a vote that the committee voted. 4 said yes, 3 said no. So by one vote, they approved to spend more money. I mean, this stuff's expensive. To raise the foundation 18 inches. What I've been telling you, what have I been trying to tell you for the last 30 minutes about foundation in our lives? When the rains came in the Hurricane Katrina, the water rose, and that 18 inches is what kept the water from going inside the church. If they would not have built the foundation deeper, higher, water would have flooded the church, and they would have been a part of needing the missions, and instead the foundation was 18 inches higher, and they became the sending place of the missions. If you and I go deeper, who knows what God's going to do with us and through us? Pray to be healthy and happy? Sure. But no, that is not God's priority in your life or should be in your life for yourself. Pray for God's work in the inner man. Let me put it all together. So I see that Christ has brought the Jews and Gentiles together and made a third group. So Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father. I'm humble before a loving Father in my life. He's created all these things. Every family in history gets their name coming back from Adam and Eve. I'm asking, Lord, that you do work in the inner man that is alive in me. What do I want you to do in the inner man? I want you to root me down. I want you to establish me firm, and I want you to dwell in my heart and find your home here so that I can be a person that walks this kind of prayer out for my loved ones and for me. And then, Lord, as I work on the foundation, if you want to build the building higher and happier and healthier, so be it. But this life, I'm going to have many troubles and many joys, and I want to be strong on the soul. That's way different than neck up. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Oh, the Lord has been good to me, and so I thank the Lord. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Bless us. So, Lord, these are gifts we're about to receive through the bounty of Christ. Now there's a heartbeat of prayer instead of just a memorization for four-year-olds explaining the adult Christian journey. Let him work on the inner man and woman.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.